Well, it's a good-looking crowd out there today. Yeah, you're welcome. This side of my shoulder is wet. I was holding the baby for a couple of minutes, and then he wanted somebody else. I have some news today. This is the first time I think this has ever happened. I know some of you think you know where I'm going, but I'm not really going there. I'm going somewhere else first. I wanted to share with you. We ran out of pagers for our children's church department. We ran out of pagers. So that is like every family member who has a child that gets a pager, so we don't embarrass family members by putting a number up on the screen, but the pager is given to parents, and it just buzzes if they need assistance downstairs with the children's church, so that if they need to go down and figure out what's going on, and the teachers down there need some help for that parent, and then we just buzz them. They just kind of buzz it. And it's kind of like going to a restaurant and you get these little buzzers. And so today, we just ran out. I don't even know how many do we have? Huh? We have 10? Okay. So, but we know that doesn't mean we have 10 down there. Because people here have 2 kids, 3 kids, and so and you might want to pray for them today because it's probably pretty full down there today. So there is no more pagers for them. 16, so that's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot, and that's a good. Yes. And Larry, I did bring my water up here this time, so I don't have you go get me a cup. So I'm still fighting a little bit of it. But we also had our auction night. We had our auction night on Thursday night, which is to raise funds for the ministries that we have, our two women's transitional homes, our men's transitional home, the meal ministry, and all the things that we do. And we surpassed, it was an amazing night. We hit just over $32,000 on that. And then we had a fund to need at the end of that for the Life Center across the street, and we raised another $34,000. So it's like a $67,000 night. Yes, that is amazing. Yes, $67,000. Now, I don't see that in the house here, but I know who is here that can do all that, and that is our Lord. And God has answered that and is sharing with me a few things here. Recently, twice he has shared with me in my spirit, and I know that he spoke, you know, in spirit. And so he's doing some amazing things, and so I'm very, very excited about that, and just God just showing himself in that way. So definitely we need to be thankful for what God has done with that. $67,000 in one night is amazing. It is amazing. It shows that God wants that building done across the street. Now, I will tell you this, and I'll share more of this in the Vision Sunday in January, but we will have two major things that will be happening. It's working in here, getting this done, and beginning to work over there. So this will be a year of, next year will be a big year. And so anyway, but we're finishing up this year. We're finishing up this year. And we are finishing strong. And so I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I want to share with you guys today some things that I think could help you maybe understand a little bit why sometimes your life isn't going the way that you think it should be going. Sometimes we're... where some of our problems, I'll give you a note here. Bad things happen to good people too. Bad things happen to Christians too. Okay, we need to know that. Bad things happen to Christians too. But sometimes we have things that happen in our lives that didn't need to happen. But because we chose a road, it caused problems. And so we're going to look in chapter 6 of the book of Luke, and if it also mirrors also in Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus has this great preaching talking about judging people, giving, talks about all these things, praying, and all the things that he has. I really hope I can get through this causal stuff, but I want to pick it up toward the end of this piece here. And in chapter 6, I want to read verse 46 for a second. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say?" Father, Lord, thank you again for this opportunity just to break into your word. And give us eyes to see it, give us ears to hear it, but also, Lord, know that we need to follow it. And we just ask for your presence in this special time. Amen. So he says, "Why do you call me the Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say?" Kind of reminds you as a parent, doesn't it? You that have been parents, how many times you told your children to do something? And you listen to me, but you don't do what I tell you to do. And it also happens to us when we were growing up too, listening to our parents. We would listen to them, but we wouldn't do what they told us to do. And basically, consequences happens. And so we see Jesus doing the same thing. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say?" And so we see he is now beginning to say, all these things that I preached about, all these things that I taught about, you not just need to be a listener, but you also need to be a doer. And then he says in verse 47, "I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them." So this is about someone that comes to him. He said, this is about someone that's coming. "I will show you," okay, he says, "I'll show you what someone is like who comes to me." First of all, they come to Christ. Number two, what is it? That they come to Christ. Number two is they hear my word. They hear the word. And number three, they do what it says. Coming to Christ, hearing the words, doing what he says. And this is where we find ourselves struggling. But Jesus is talking about this, referring to, he's going to refer to a man building a house. He's going to refer a man building a house. And so he really wants the people here to understand what he's talking about. But not just be listeners of it, but be doers of the word. And so he's sharing this piece, and he goes into verse 48. He says, now this man, he says, "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood came, the river crashed against that house and couldn't shake it because it was well built." So he's talking about building a house. I have a picture here I want to show you this morning. Every now and then I do something like this. I want to share with you, you're going to see a picture of this building. It's in the Middle East, and it's called the Burj Khalifa or something like that. And so this building is the tallest building in the world as of right now. The world's always making tall buildings. It is very, very impressive. It's an impressive building. And so, and as you can see, it's huge. It's in Dubai, yeah. And it is 2,716 feet tall. It's 160 stories. Okay? Now, if you've ever been out to St. Louis and seen the arch, you can see it from miles away, right? That's only 630 feet. This is 2,716 feet. So it's high. It's three times higher than the Eiffel Tower. It's two times higher than the Empire State Building. And it has a 2.5-hour fire-resistant wall wrapped all the way around through its walls. It can withstand the 7 earthquake magnitude. It took 12,000 construction workers to work and to build it. It has 26,000 glass window panes, and every one of them was individually hand-cut. That's impressive. And it takes 3 months to wash all the windows. And then at the end of the 3 months, you start all over again. Yeah, that thing is huge. And the highest point is 27 degrees colder up there than it is on the main floor. So it really reaches up there. And you can see it from 59 miles away. That is impressive. That's impressive. Everybody gets to see it. But there's something you don't see, and that is something that's below it. This is the most important part of the building. It's the foundation. And in this foundation, they had to dig passed over 130 to 130 feet just to find the rock bed. And this building's foundation, it consists of 192 pillars that are 5 feet thick. 192 pillars underneath this building. And those are 141 feet long. That's just crazy. And they had to dig down below. Once they got past that, 164 feet deep. This thing is deep. And they got these pillars in there. But there is something that is very unique, even with all that, because a lot of buildings are built very, very strongly. But this one's got something special in it. This, they put electricity wire through. They put electricity through all these pillars. You think, why would they put electricity in all these pillars? Because they wanted to be able to make sure at the bottom of this, because they dug so deep, they wanted to make sure that there was no corrosion that was going to happen. So that somehow this electricity goes through to all the barb, all the stuff that's in there, and keeps all the corrosion. It keeps it from being all this corrosion to fill up into it, where the building may look good on the top, but in the bottom, it's not, and it's falling apart, and they don't even see it. And what I think is very impressive about the building is that they put that electricity all through the bottom, and it's always running. And it keeps the corrosion from happening, from the salt water that can come through and all those things that can do that. I want to remind you that Jesus Christ gives us the Holy Spirit inside of us to keep us from being corroded by all the world and all the sin and all the things that we are tempted by. It continues. It's a life force that never stops. It is the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us to continue to say, build your life, but build it around me. And so he is our foundation. And no matter what the building looks like on the top, it needs to be good, but without a solid foundation, it's going to collapse. And we're going to share that. But what we have as a believer, we have Christ, and he is our foundation. And those pillars with Christ run deep. We have the Word of God that supplies us and guides us on how to live life. We have the Holy Spirit who's inside of each one of us as a believer, because we've asked Christ and we've come to Christ. We've done the thing where we've come to Christ and we're listening to what he says. And we're working on building the good stuff that goes up on top. But sometimes we have these questions. I want to take a side trip for a minute. But sometimes we say, you know what? What about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? They said they come to Christ, and we're looking at, I know you will know them by their fruits. I know there's scriptures that are solid. They are solid, but the Word of God is all together. But I want to share with you that in 1 Corinthians, there's a very strong piece in 1 Corinthians that talks about some very important things. And I want to because I have people that continue to come to me and ask this question. I'm going to come to that question here in a minute. But in 1 Corinthians 3 and chapter 3, Paul is writing to the people, and he's going to share some things, and I'm going to share them with you as well. Because here's what we do. I want you to not take your salvation for granted. Don't take your salvation for granted. But I also want to tell you, if you come to Christ and you have salvation, believe me, you have salvation. Okay? So it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, according to God's grace, listen, that's God's grace. When we start putting lines on God's grace, we're messing up. Don't try to get in the middle of God's grace and try to figure it out. It's just God's grace. It's bigger than you can imagine. It's bigger than you can understand. But you know what? We've experienced God's grace just because of his salvation. You think the world is a mess today? Think about it when it was back in the day, when Jesus came. But think of it all the way back in Genesis chapter 6, when God was grieved that he made man, but God's grace was on Noah and his family. God's grace is huge. But he says, according to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation. Here we go. That foundation is the key word today. As a skilled master builder. And another builds on it. But each one is to be careful how he builds on it. So we have salvation, and we need to be careful on how we build on it, right? Amen? We need to build and be that solid Christian that God's called us to do, continually to grow, right? Not that you want to be the greatest, the greatest building ever, you know. You want it to build solid. But you have the foundation. He's talking about the foundation. And he says this, for no one can lay any foundation that has been laid down. No one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down. One foundation has been laid down. What is it? That foundation, it says, is Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. That foundation is in Jesus Christ, not your bank account, not your last name, not all the things you did. You need that foundation. The foundation is your salvation in Jesus Christ. You need that foundation. Then he says this, if anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, he's saying once you build on that foundation, you begin to build on your salvation, and you're building all these things that God doesn't like. You build all these things. It's not impressing God. He says, because he said there was only one foundation, he says that if anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious. For that day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, the true testing of what you've done, and the fire will test the quality of each one's work. So God is going to test your works. He's going to test your life. It's you. But it doesn't have anything to do with your foundation. It's what you put on top of the foundation. Please, you keep asking me, have I lost my salvation? Some of you have asked me that. Usually when people ask me if you lost your salvation, usually you're doing something you shouldn't be doing most of the time, or other times you're struggling with it because you don't understand it, or other times you're just missing the understanding of the salvation, or maybe you have to have a strong conversation. Do you have Christ in your life or not? Or do you just know about Jesus? A lot of people know about Jesus. A lot of people will celebrate Christmas and they'll put a nativity scene out, but they don't have him, but they have a nativity scene, but they don't really have it. They experience Christmas, they experience services, but they don't have Christ in their life. They don't have that foundation. And so he says it will be real, but he says this, if anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, that means everything on top of that foundation gets burned up. It says this, he will experience loss. Now, I didn't say that. That's what the scripture says. But it says, but he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Okay? So what he's coming back to, you've got to remember, come up to the very beginning, according to God's grace. We need to understand God's grace is bigger than what we can really understand. But God gives us these words here so we can understand it. But he says, but he himself will be saved, but only through the fire, only through fire, only through the testing. Why? Because everything on top of the foundation is gone. It didn't make it. But that salvation with Christ, that foundation is still there. Okay? Now, the attitude is not, oh, well, at least I'm going to heaven. No, that's not the attitude, because the Holy Spirit will continue to work through you, convict you, draw you, push you, and if need be, discipline you, put you in the headlock, discipline you, until finally he gets your attention. And let me just remind you, prison is always not the lowest place, or people wouldn't be keep revolving back around, even people that are Christians. Christians, let me remind you, bad things happen to Christians, but sometimes Christians do bad things too. So so he says this now. He does finish it. He says, Don't you yourselves know? He said, don't you know that you're God's temple? Wow. Why is that? Because you have a foundation. Okay? You have Christ, and God dwells in the hearts of the people, and that the Spirit of God lives in you. I may say it, but I'm just reading it. It says, and that the Spirit of God lives in you. If you're a believer today, you ought to be able to say, God's Spirit lives in me. That's just because the Word said it. God's Spirit lives in me. So if I have God's Spirit in me, I can live according to the way He wants me to live. His Spirit will guide me to be the man, the woman that He desires me to be, and the way that the Bible tells me to live. He says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and that is what you are. What? He says, you are holy. You are holy. You are holy. If you are a drug addict, don't say, I was a drug. No, I'm a recovering drug addict. I'd rather hear say, listen, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm saved by the power of Jesus. I had a life, but this is who I am now. That may be who I was. I'm not going to dwell on that because that's who I was. Because people that recover from drug addicts or alcoholism, they sometimes will say those things. And that's okay. They're testifying at times. You don't want to live on that all the time and do that. But you know what? All of us others, we have a life that we also lived outside of God too. But we want to be walking with Christ. We want to be able to shout those things out, that the good that God has done. So we know we have the Holy Spirit in us, but we're building on a foundation. And we go back to this piece in chapter six, Luke chapter 6. He says this. He says, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Okay, on the rock. Found that rock bed. There it is. And when the flood came and the river crashed against the house, and it could not shake it because it was well built. And listen, it doesn't matter how nice the house is on top. If it doesn't have a solid foundation, it isn't going to work. You need that solid foundation. And our life needs to have Jesus Christ in it. Amen? You that are Christians, look at yourselves. Remember, just go back for a second. Where would you be without Jesus today? And I want to tell you, your life has changed because of what Jesus did, because of the love of God, and you have a foundation in God. Amen? And here we see this. He says, listen, when those things come, listen, when you have financial crisis or you have a health crisis, you lose a loved one, there is pain in that. Amen? There is pain. We've all felt the pain of life. But we also know we have something that the world doesn't have, the lost doesn't have. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the promises of God. We have a faith in God. We know that our future is A-okay because it is in the hands of God. And we're going to be okay through that storm. Amen? Sometimes those storms can be rough, though, huh? This is why the scripture says, hey, we need to get together. We need to have fellowship. We need to pray to one another. Sometimes the Lord would say, listen, you need to mourn. You need to cry out to me, whatever it may be. And I want to tell you, we do life different than the rest of the world. And so here he also begins to talk about another person. He talks about this. But the one, in verse 49, he says this. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. What? Without a foundation. Well, the foundation is Jesus Christ. So without a foundation, that is a person who is lost. That is a person who does not have a foundation. But they might have built something that looked as beautiful as that building. But the first thing here, what it says, and it says the river crashed against it and immediately it collapsed. It collapsed and the destruction of that house was great. And so we see that those who do not have a foundation, when things happen, they just fall apart. They fall apart. Their whole life falls apart. And Jesus is saying this from the very beginning. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? Yeah. I'm building a house. My house. It's getting older, though. It's getting older. It's like our transitional homes. All of our buildings are over 100 years old, and we got to keep working on them. I got to keep working on this house, and even then we got to keep working on this house. But we don't want to build this house upon stubble and stone, all this stuff. We want to build it up on the righteousness and the good things of God. Amen. Don't you want to build that up in your life, the good things and the blessing? Don't you want to be a blessing to others? And so, what happens with these people who have no foundation and they're all falling apart? You know what they're doing? They all of a sudden now they start looking for help. And someone will just go right over to another place, another person that just like them, and they'll just fall apart together all over again. But sometimes someone says, sometimes we see people. It's like when I get to share the gospel with people. Usually it's when their lives are kind of a wreck. The house has fallen apart. They had no foundation. And they come over to someone and they're looking for someone. They don't even know, but they're talking to someone that they just feel, and the Lord is drawing them to someone who has a foundation in Christ. And so you share the gospel with them, and now they have a new foundation. They have a first time, they have a foundation. And now they get to build on something new and beautiful. Anything you do with God and Jesus is always beautiful. Everything you do in the world is ugly, it's broken, and is doomed to fall apart. I loved living on Buell in Fort Wayne. I miss the house. I don't know if I really miss the house, but I miss, it's not even really the house, I miss what happened in the house. I miss what happened in the home. Me and Carla have been believers for such a long time. I think I shared with somebody today, we've been married 37 years. We raised our boys over there in Fort Wayne. And I just want to say, there were so many kids that came over to our house where they had no foundation growing up. Some of you can relate to that. Maybe your house was opened up to other kids that came for your kids, and they begin to say, and then the kids start saying things like, I really like coming over here. Can I come over? And then the next thing you know, you find kids stopping by without the boys. They were just stopping by. This became a new home for them. There's so many comments and so many things. And what it was when you have a house that's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and you're wanting Jesus to work through you, the Lord work through you, and you want it to. It doesn't mean you're perfect. We still have our issues, but people see that light coming out of your house, of your foundation. It will draw people who have no foundation. And you have to be ready to love on them, to share with them, to fellowship with them. And it will cost you. Cost us pizzas and all kinds of stuff. I loved it. And that's the one thing that I miss more than anything. And they were coming from homes that had no foundation. But let me remind you too, there are Christians that are living a life that have the foundation, but aren't living the life of God's will. And you know what God does? It's just like the prodigal son. There's a moment where they got to wake up, and God brings them back always to a place of a firm foundation. This is why we have ministries. This place is a firm foundation. It's more than 192 pillars. It's more than 160 feet deep. It's more than just having electrical power going through it. It's more than all that. It's just one thing. The foundation is Jesus Christ. And if Jesus did a work in your life, Jesus is not done. He wants to continue to work in other people's lives. So God is going to continue to bring people to places to have a strong foundation so that they also can have a foundation. And then he can say, I will show you what someone is like who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. That is Jesus. And when the flood came and the rivers crashed against it, against that house, and couldn't shake it because it was well built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. God is good. Amen. Father, we're getting ready to move into our next part of our service, Lord. And I thank you so much for the foundation that you laid, which is beautiful. And it's available for everyone. I pray, Father, your will be done. Let's go ahead and stand. Let's stand.